pages 41 and 42. When Israel saw Joseph's son, he said, "Who are these?" Joseph said to his father, "They are my sons, whom God has given me here." And he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age, so that he could not see them. So Joseph brought them near him, and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, "I never expected to see your face, and behold, God has let me see your offspring also." Then Joseph removed them from his knees, and he bowed himself with his face to the earth. And Joseph took them both, Ephraim in his right hand towards Israel's left hand, Manasseh in his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. And Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on the head of Ephraim, who was the younger, and his left hand on the head of Manasseh, crossing his hands, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, "The God before whom his fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the boys, and in them let my names be carried on, and the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth." Amen.
Looks about right, don't you think? See if I can get this down a little bit. There we go. All right. It's good to be back home. Was away last week. The Lord blessed. I heard he blessed here. And he is good. May the grace and peace of God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ be with you today and always. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Spirit, speak to us through your word. May today we see some things that we can apply to our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. This week and next week, we finish up the story of Joseph. I hope it's been a blessing to you. It has to me. Parents, eyes front, parents. Towards the end of the sermon especially, there's something here for you as parents, especially if you still have children in your home. Parents, if you have grown kids, there's something in here for you at the end of the service. If you don't have children, there's something here for you that you can apply anyway, all right? But it's going to be very practical, and it's going to be very spiritual. I guarantee it. Okay? We have been looking at the life of Joseph. The sermon series has been titled Rising Above Adversity, Lessons from the Life of Joseph. But we are at the point in the story, towards the end of the story, where Joseph has risen above the adversities of his life to a place of prominence in Egypt, and now he once again is having the continued favorite status of the beloved son of Jacob. And we'll show how that takes place in just a few moments. But I'm going to do something now. I'm going to call up Miguel Ojeda. Miguel, come on up. I have had the privilege of studying with Miguel the Bible for the past 4 weeks or so, and it is a privilege. So, this is going to be something called a living parable. What's a parable?
Parable is a story used as an example, especially by Jesus.
I didn't tell him that. Okay? I did not tell him that. Okay. Now, just let them know the meaning of your name.
Miguel or Miguel Angel means angel.
Or from Michael, it means that you are from God, okay? You are God's, all right? So I'm going to have a living parable for you. A living parable is different in that it's something that's happening at the moment from which you can draw a lesson. It is not something contrived. What I'm going to be sharing the next minute or so is real. I really mean it from the bottom of my heart, and I want you to know that before I do. He does not know what's happening, okay? All right. I want you to look at me. Okay. A little sideways so they can see you too. All right, that's good. Miguel.
Yes.
I want you to know, we've shared a number of things about, we've got some similarities from our childhood, don't we? So we've talked about that and how God can sometimes use that, right? Okay. I want you to know that of the many young people I've studied with, you are one of the most sensitive young men I've ever met. You have a sensitivity towards people. You're aware of your own emotions. You're aware of some of the deep things of life that even many adults don't have. I admire you for that. You also have a discernment in God's word that goes beyond your years. I have no idea what God has in store for you. But I do know this much. If you continue in this life with a journey for God and a heart for God like you have now, I guarantee you that God is going to use you in a mighty way, that God is going to bless you. I also want you to know that if I can ever help in any way, whether it's tomorrow or 10 years from now, if you ever need me, I'll be there for you. If you ever have any questions, I'll be there for you. I just know that God has put you here with a special purpose to minister to others, and I know he's going to use you in a mighty way. So please, never forget, God, you belong to God, and that you will always be his son. Okay? The Bible refers to that as a blessing. Okay? I want you to keep that in mind, a blessing. I want you to notice that we've already stated that Joseph is still Jacob's favorite. He continues to be that. And we're going to look at two ways in which Joseph is seen as Jacob's favorite. Jacob calls Joseph in one day. He recognizes he's dying. He's in his 147th year of life. It will be his last. And Scripture reads this way about what took place. When the time drew near that Israel must die, he called his son Joseph and said to him, If now I have found favor in your sight, put your hand under my thigh and promise to deal kindly and truly with me. Do not bury me in Egypt, but let me lie with my fathers. Carry me out of Egypt and bury me in their burying place. He answered, I will do as you have said. And he said, Jacob said, swear to me. And Joseph swore to him. Then Israel bowed himself upon the head of his bed. Now that almost sounds like he died at that point. No, that's not what it's saying. Hebrews chapter 11, when it refers to this, says that he bowed on his staff. And that's probably a better translation. So it's an act of worship. After Jacob gives Joseph his final instructions, he bows his head in an act of worship, as we will see. Now, I want you to notice something. You say, where does this show the favoritism? Did you notice how many sons Jacob called in to give them his last desires and wishes? His son, Joseph. The 11 others are not called. Now, it may be that the reason Jacob calls Joseph, and Joseph still got the high position in Egypt, and Joseph can make sure that his body gets taken back to Canaan. That's probably true. And yet, at the same time, why didn't he call the others and at least hear what was going on? Joseph continues to be Jacob's favorite. But Jacob asked something kind of different. He says, if I've found favor in your sight. Now, that word favor means compassion. Joseph, if you have any compassion for me as your father, will you honor my last request? That's what he's really saying. Joseph, will you listen to me and honor that which I'm asking you to do? And so he does so, and then he gives him a strange command. For us, it's really strange. He says, place your hand under my thigh and promise me. That almost sounds weird. What's that all about? Well, that was an intimate symbol of an oath to deal faithfully after the death of a loved one so that you can make a promise to take care of your posterity. It was an intimate act. That's why it's under the thigh, to say, I'm going to make sure that your lineage will go on. I'm going to make sure that your reputation will go forward. I'm going to make sure and do all that you asked me to do to honor you and to make sure that your honor continues throughout our family for generations to come. Then he says, carry me out of Egypt and bury me with my fathers. Just by saying that, he's reminding Joseph of his own lineage. He's reminding him of where he came from. He's reminding him that Egypt is not his home. He's just a passing through. His treasure is laid up somewhere over in Canaan, to paraphrase a song. Jacob is reminding Joseph that while he has it good in Egypt, that's not where he's to remain. And don't you dare, Joseph, leave my remains in Egypt, because my home is in the land that God promised to Abraham and Isaac and to me, and it's the land he's promised to you too. That's what he's saying between the lines. And Joseph says, I will do as you said. Now, what's interesting is how Hebrews 11, the chapter that talks about the faith of the patriarchs, how Hebrews 11 wants us to remember Jacob's life. If I were to say, what was the greatest example of faith in Jacob's life, what would you say? Probably the first answer from most of us would be, I know, it's the ladder. It's not the ladder. Or perhaps we'd say, I know, he forgave his sons. It's not the forgiveness of his sons. If you want to know what it was, here it is. By faith, Jacob, when dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph. Actually, that's just Manasseh and Ephraim, bowing in worship over the head of his staff. Wait a minute, he blessed Ephraim and Manasseh? That's his act of faith? Let me show you why and how I believe it was his act of faith. And the book of Hebrews, the writer really combines two events. He combines the time when he bowed and worshiped over the head of his staff, and then it also puts together the time when he blessed the two sons of Jacob. Now, why is that so crucial? I want you to notice the order. If you look at Genesis chapter 48, this is what it says. After Joseph was told, your father is ill, he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. That's the oldest and the youngest. And it was told to Jacob, your son Joseph has come to you. Then Israel summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty, El Shaddai. One of the meanings that is attributed to El Shaddai is God is enough. I had not heard that before. God is enough. Isn't that good news this morning? In spite of all the turmoil, as Greg prayed about, in the world around us, God is enough. In spite of the difficulties in the church, God is enough. In spite of difficulties in our homes, God is enough. May the Lord Almighty, God Almighty, he appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. Now, we don't know that word Luz too much, and some commentators tried to say that Jacob was kind of forgetting things at this stage of his life because he doesn't refer to it as Bethel. Well, if you go back to previous part of the story, it was at Luz when Jacob arrived that he laid his head down on a stone for a pillow and had the dream. And it was after he had the dream that he renamed Luz Bethel, the house of God. So Jacob is referring to Luz because he's reminding Joseph how God appeared to him at Luz. And that was a changing point in his life. A changing point in his life. And he blessed me, he said there. What does it mean to bless someone? I don't know about you, but the word bless is kind of one of those words you know, but not sure quite what. Kelly dealt with it in the children's story. To bless someone means to use a form of words in which you invoke something good to happen to somebody. Usually it's something good. And to invoke it means that you really do so with the expectation that it's going to take place. And so he said, it was there that God invoked something on me, the good things to come, and it was the promise that through my family, the entire world would be blessed. Through my family, there would be a multitude of people who would come. And so he says that God said, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a company of peoples. And then in verse 5, he says, and now your two sons who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine. Anybody notice a difference in the order? Joseph brought Manasseh and Ephraim to Jacob. Jacob said, no, they are now Ephraim and Manasseh, and they are mine. They're mine. Wow. They're mine. And the children that you fathered after them will be yours. As for me, when I came from Paddan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way when there were still some distance to go to Ephrath, which is Bethel. And I buried her there on the way to Bethlehem. Ephraim and Manasseh are now mine. I'm going to claim them as my own. Later, you'll find out in 1 Chronicles chapter 5 that Ephraim took the place of Reuben, the eldest, and Manasseh took the place of Joseph among the 12 tribes. But I want you to notice what takes place in verse 7. Verse 8. When Israel saw Joseph's sons, he said, who are these? And Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me here. Now, it says later that he's blind and can't see. I do not personally believe that Jacob did not recognize them. Have you ever seen a father or a grandfather when some children come into the room you hadn't seen in a while, and they say, who do we have here? Anybody ever do that or seen that? I think that's what's happening here. Who? It's my grandsons. He knew full well who they were. Because his response is too quick. Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them. And so he does. He blesses them. Now, as he blesses them, Joseph places them in the right order. Ephraim, as the youngest, would have the left hand. Manasseh, as the oldest, would have the right hand. But Jacob switches hands. Remind you of anything? It's almost as if, and this is why I believe by faith Jacob mentions him blessing these two sons, it's almost as if after all these years, Jacob gets a second chance at getting the birthright correct. It's almost as if after all these years, Jacob doesn't try to finagle anything. He doesn't try to deceive anybody. He simply blesses the one that God tells him to bless. And so he puts them on the wrong heads to bless Ephraim as the youngest. Joseph says, no, Dad, you've got it wrong. He said, no, son, this is the right way. And Joseph does not complain, doesn't stop him. And then it says in verse 15 something interesting. It says he blessed Joseph and said, wait a minute, I thought he's blessing Ephraim and Manasseh. Why? You bless someone's sons, you bless the father, right? If someone does something for your son or your daughter, have they not done it for you?
and he blesses them. Notice verse 15, chapter 48 of Genesis. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless these boys. Do you hear Jacob's admission of his lack of faith? Do you hear Jacob's admission of all the times in which he was deceitful, that God had intervened and forgiven and had given him in the end that which was right? I don't know why I'm still holding this thing. I forgot I had this. I just want you to notice that in blessing Joseph, Jacob doesn't try to cover up the fact that he was an imperfect father. Jacob doesn't try to cover up the fact that he made mistakes as a father. He simply says, God has forgiven me through the angel that came and appeared to me, which was God himself. God has forgiven me. And through these boys, Ephraim and Manasseh, my name, my character will be carried on, and the name of my fathers, Abraham and Isaac, will be carried on, and they will become a great multitude. And then later he says that there, later on, people will pronounce a blessing by saying, may God make you as fruitful as Ephraim and Manasseh. Okay, parents, we're getting to the point. I want you to listen, and I want you to take note. I want you to take note of the importance of blessing your children. I want you to take note of the importance of blessing your children as Jacob blessed Manasseh and Ephraim, and in doing so, blessed Joseph. We all need to know that we are blessed of God. We all need to know that we belong to our parents. We need to know that our parents approve of us and love us, not for what we do, but simply because we belong to them. Great damage has been done by parents who don't bless their children or who deny the blessing by coming up with pet nicknames or by saying this repeatedly, or, how could you possibly do that, you stupid kid? Anybody ever heard someone call their kid that? I have. It wasn't my dad calling me that, okay? Just to make sure you know. I have. I just want you to know that when people grow up without knowing that they have the approval and blessing of their parents, there is a void that they start searching for, and they do it in one way or another. They either do it by trying to prove that they are worth something, become workaholics, became people pleasers, or they do it by simply withdrawing. And if lack of blessing is enough, research has shown there have been children who have died because they didn't have their parents' blessing. And children die spiritually if they don't receive spiritual blessing from their parents too. Did you as parents catch that? Children will die spiritually if they don't have their parents' spiritual blessing. There is a book I highly recommend, and much of the rest of this message comes from that book, I admit it. It's called The Blessing by John Trent and Gary Smalley. I read it years ago. I encourage parents to read it, regardless whether your children have left home or not. It's available through Amazon. I checked, and I'm not getting any kickback from him. In that book, the authors have come up with 5 elements of biblical blessing that parents need to give their children. There are 5 aspects. If you want to know how to bless your children, here's how to do it. Nothing could be more practical, right? First of all, there needs to be meaningful, appropriate touch. Kids of all ages need to have the hug, the handshake, the touch, and yes, even the kiss. They need it. It starts with meaningful, appropriate touch. Study after study has been done of what happens to people who don't have touch in their lives, and what they do is they shrivel up and die. Study after study has been done that people who touch each other, husbands and wives who hug, husbands and wives who touch their children, that their blood pressure's lowered. Study after study has been done that touch is an amazing thing for keeping us whole and healthy. I did not say that in such strong language because I was trying to overemphasize. I can't emphasize enough. How often, parents, do you touch your children and let them know, I love you? What's interesting is when Joseph brings his boys to Jacob, Jacob embraces and kisses them. And these are probably kids in their teenage years. Embraces and kisses them. I want the second element is to have a spoken message. And what that basically means is not that you're going to give a sermon all the time. It simply means you want to share with them that which is important to you. You want to let them know what they mean to you. You want to be able to tell them exactly what's on your heart and mind and to share with them maybe some of your life experiences along the way. The third element is to attach high value to them, to tell them what they mean to you. When I attended a seminar by Gary Smalley on this very topic, he told us that the word for honor in Hebrew almost has the sound of... And so he told us, he said, if you want to do an experiment, go home and when your kid walks in the room, go, it's Julie. That's my daughter's name. It's Mark. There were about four or five of us who were raising our kids kind of together. But by that, I mean, they often came to our house. Our kids went to their house, etc. It was a wonderful experience. So that night we went home, walked in the door. Our kids were teenagers by this time. They walked in the room and I went, it's Julie, and Vivian went, it's Mark, and our kids went, what's wrong with you? Try it sometime, and then explain to them why you did it. Because I value you, because I honor you, because I cherish you, right? Attach a high value to them for who they are, for the things that are important to them, not the things that are important to you. Their interests, not yours. Find out their hopes and dreams so you can place a value on their hopes and dreams, not your hopes and dreams for them. The fourth aspect was to picture a special future. Certainly, Jacob did that with Ephraim and Manasseh. You're going to replace two of my sons. You're going to have a future. You're going to have a multitude. My reputation will be carried through you. And finally, the last one is there is a commitment to fulfill the blessing. Wait a minute, he's dying. How did he fulfill that blessing? He reminded them of their lineage. They were the sons of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And now Joseph. He reminded them of the promises of God that God would make a great multitude. He even shared with them his own failures and how God had redeemed him in spite of those failures. One of the greatest mistakes parents make is when they're afraid to admit they were wrong to their children. One of the greatest blessings parents can give their children is when they are willing to admit they were wrong, ask forgiveness, and remind their children that they need God's forgiveness too. Five elements of biblical blessing: meaningful, appropriate touch, a spoken message, attaching high value to them, picturing a special future, and a commitment to fulfill the blessing as God empowers you to do so. Anybody now know why I had the living parable at the beginning of the service? I didn't just do that for effect. I want you to know that with all my heart. That young man has become to mean something to me. Okay? And that commitment is real. I want to end with another living parable. I want to ask all the members of this church family to stand up. And guess, you can include yourself in this, but I really want the members of the Corona Church family to stand up. If you worship with us regularly and you're not a member, that can include you too, okay? You're still a family member. Okay. I can't touch everyone. Okay, here it is, the best I can do. You are the Corona Seventh-day Adventist church family. You are Seventh-day Adventist, believing that God created you and gave you his Sabbath day so that you may find rest in him as your creator and redeemer. You are the crown of God's victory over sin through Jesus Christ. There are so many people here with gifts and talents that God has given so that you may bless this community in his behalf. He has called you to reveal his character to those around you. May you be a blessing to each other and a blessing to those within your sphere of influence so that together we might reflect his character and others will know that Jesus Christ is Lord and he's coming back soon so that we might be with him. It is my commitment, and I think I can speak for Gilbert and Kelly as well, and the commitment of this pastoral staff, that we will do everything we can so that you can know that you belong to God and you can fulfill his desire that you reflect his character to those around you. Amen. May God bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace now and forevermore. And the rest of that blessing, I did not realize that till this morning, says this. Because you've received that blessing, may the character of the Lord be upon you as you live each day.